Just enter into your presence. Thank you, Lord, that you have made a way for us through your Son, Jesus Christ, to boldly enter into the throne room of grace, to sit with you, to just open our hearts to receive from you. Lord, thank you that you understand us, you've made us. And I just pray for each one of us in this place for such open heart to receive what you want to reveal to each one of us specifically in Jesus' name. And I thank you that each one of us will take it from this place, Lord, and that we'll take note and apply and just respond in whichever way we deem fit. I pray that our lives will glorify you, Lord, and I pray that we will just be overwhelmed by who you are. Amen. Okay, how many are we? Richard, can you quickly give me a hand, please? So I've got some handouts for you. If you don't have a pen, I've got a pen too. One each. Yes. Now, sorry, it's a bit of a informal attempt, but it will get the point across, so just use it for what the purpose is. I really feel just the week that I was preparing as well, and I just have such an overwhelming sense that God really wants to show us something in this place today, something specific that will actually impact and change our lives. We'll even walk out different, not because I'm bringing you the school message or anything, but because we actually had an encounter with Christ. And I really believe he wants to just change our perspective even where it's needed, where we just understand who he is, who we are in him, and how we can just walk with him. Okay. And I kept feeling it's as if I mustn't even say anything, you know. I'm at that point where I just want to declare for those of you who need to hear, it's not about me, it's not about what I and how I tell you something. It's about God's truth actually impacting your heart and your life. Thanks. Okay. Now, I'm going to quickly share. So, are any of you in a hurry? Do you have any lunch dates for this afternoon? Because I'm just going to ignore the clock. Now, if I just, as you all know, our season is changing quite rapidly, and it's quite a learning curve for me. We weren't on our way anywhere. We were happy here, you know, settled. The kids are carrying on well at school. And, you know, we've been here 10 years. So, obviously, we've got a fantastic just community support. And then as our season changed and as things just clicked for me in my mind, the overwhelming thing that I just am aware of is just how specific God is part of each one of our lives and just our walk, and how that is already determined. And whether I know it, believe it, experience it, that's not really the point, or that's irrelevant, because he has already prepared it for us, and it's literally for us just to walk with him. And as we just walk in relationship with him, we come to that point where you're actually overwhelmed by just the grand design of everything around you and of who he is. And there, I have never had the desire to go. There's not even once that I've registered a desire to go and live in the Middle East, for instance. And, it's so far different to what we used to and what I've grown up in and everything. But despite all those things in the natural that I can actually look at, and if I choose to just completely freak out and rebel and say, no, this is not it, I am just aware of such an overwhelming peace that God deposited in my heart that just silences all the things in the natural that actually want to tell you, listen, you are totally missing it. You are crazy. You'll have to start over again, you know. Oh, the kid's going to settle, you know, et cetera, et cetera. There is just such an overwhelming sense of, I don't know how it's going to work. I don't even know how it's going to look where we could live at this stage. But I know we're going to be fine. And that is really a place that I believe God wants all of us to reach. Just that understanding that, Lord, you are the one that's actually in control of my life. And you know what you're doing. Whether I'm aware of it or not, that's not really the problem. You know, what we must focus on is the fact that we acknowledge you as the living King, the one that orchestrates my life. And Lord, here I am, you know, every day in whichever context, use me so that one, I can glorify you, and two, so that your kingdom can come wherever I am. Now, it's interesting, just to give you a bit of a background, something that I also now, if I look back, I'm like, wow. It's as if the Holy Spirit wants to just make us aware again of when He actually speaks to us. I mean, who of you wants to know the will of the Lord? I mean, all of us, that's our desire, you know. And it's, and do you find sometimes it's like a block and you're like, oh, Lord, if I just knew your will, you know, that would really be great. And then you just feel you know nothing. And I just realized, if I look back, to take it way back, even before, nearly 15 years back, I was on TARTRAC, which was an intercessory tour around South Africa. And the one day I really believed, or I just knew God told me and my husband, who I didn't even meet at that stage, we will be living in more than one country outside of South Africa. I just knew it. He said it to me. Now, I didn't worry about, oh, I don't have my husband, or, oh, you know, which country is this? I just couldn't deny that this was a spoken word. Now, it's interesting. Listen, that, for instance, have caused so much stress and frustration and irritation probably between me and Johan, like in the early days, because I would come and like, but I know the Lord said this, you know. So I clearly was unwise in my ways, and he'll be like, oh, but he doesn't want to do that, you know, and we'll get irritated with each other. But over time, as I just realized, but listen, step back. No, the Lord will make it happen if he's spoken that. And yes, that word stays. I mean, there's things that I always knew, well, this is interest, or I would love to do this. If I look back, there's actually stuff that started to fall away, but some things remain. And it's those things, it's usually something that the Lord, you know, has commissioned you to do or has spoken into your life, because the word of the Lord will stand. It will come to pass, whether you know how. It doesn't matter. It will come to pass. Okay, so I came to a point where I actually rested in the fact that this word was spoken. And Johan, you know, we both were like, let's not try to convince each other about this, because that is something that we both notice. So 2 years ago, I felt in a quiet time or just somewhere, I was in the garden or something, I just started sensing the whole time wilderness area and isolation, like in the natural. But it was as if it's going to be the complete opposite in the spirit, in our experience. You know, it's going to be refreshing, it's going to be life-giving. And I kept, you know, again, I just knew, wilderness area, isolation. Then I told Jan about it, and he was, oh, that's interesting, because he's also thinking wilderness the whole time. So we were like, we took note, but then we were like, oh, maybe it's a season, or, you know, we didn't really make much of it, but we noticed that both of us sensed it. Then, actually probably before the 2 years, all of you know my neighbor Ian has so kindly just offered me use of half of his garden. And in the early days with that, I specifically saw, but physically what we do there in the natural, like digging, planting, producing, that's spiritually what God is doing. So I was like, hey, yeah, I'm ready to, you know, plant some veggies. And he agreed. And then I also kept feeling, but we, you know, there's just, yeah, you just the whole time see worship raising from that place. And then he also had this little dodgy old shed thing. And I just saw that I must prepare that as a reading room. And I remember being irritated because I actually saw a little desk and table, and I ended up putting one couch in there. But I was like, oh man, don't get specific, you know, just prepare it. And I felt I must prepare this little place because someone is going to sit there and they're really going to have, in, you know, just significant stuff that they're going to write down. And Ian is actually a journalist, so I'm not sure whether, I don't know who it is. I just knew I must prepare this. Great, so I prepared it. Now, what he also told me is, listen, once we move, he's taking the gate out of the fence, which I can understand, you know, because, I mean, yes, he's doing us a massive favor. So I was just more mourning the fact that I'm losing, you know, or having to say goodbye to the Shebeen and, you know, not being able to grow easily stuff. I'm not sure what's the desert going to be treating our little vegetable garden as, but yeah, I just were more like personally saying goodbye. So that literally, two nights ago, I just had this vivid dream, and I could see the garden, and it's like flourishing beyond anything that we've seen. And next to it, I saw this massive gathering of people worshiping, and it was just, it's just this white light, you know, it was just everything white. And I still thought to myself, no, but that can't be there like Shebeen. It doesn't look like that. But I just knew, no, garden like flourishing and just light and the worship is just the sense that I got. And then my husband actually walked over just to tell him, listen, we are moving. And out of nowhere, he told him, oh, but ask the people that's coming whether they would want to use it. Yeah, so I'm like, I think they would love to use it, you know, not trying to be desperate. But I'm like, it's such a blessing. And then I actually told him, and I had this dream. And it really feels... I was just so amazed that God actually changed his heart as well, because clearly stuff must continue there. And it's also incredible to see how it's changed from this complete overgrown, nothing happened there. Now, like Ian is, it's as if I can understand why I have to leave, because he's like taken over. But that is so beautiful because he's like working the ground and like, yeah, he is just flourishing, you know. So I was like, praise God that he's not going to take the gate out. But that was another thing that I just noticed. Now, so going back, we had the 2 years, we had the wilderness isolation. And then probably 2 months before summer holiday, I just have this vivid dream. This family is living in our house. And I wake up, but you could see they're living there. They're not visiting. I could see over time they're living. And I tell you, but now nothing is still going off in my head. I just tell you, you know, I just dreamt this, but it's probably because I saw her the other day, you know. Didn't really think much of it. So 2 weeks after that, Johan gets invited to a roadshow for this company. And I'm thinking, go, man, go. It will be good for your confidence, you know, do a bit of networking. He's not that fond of, like, putting himself forward. So I'm more like thinking, yeah, what can you lose? A half a day's leave, you know. Go for it. So he comes back and he says, it actually got his attention. It was quite interesting. But they had a very big group, so it was a couple of weeks that passed. And then he got an offer. He received an offer. But they gave us 1 week to decide. Oh, my word. It felt as if a ton of bricks want to, like, squash the life, like, here from my chest. I just wanted to go into this panic mode of, like, so different. How can we change? You know, I can't decide in a week. And I just, at that point, knew, just pull yourself together, relax, and trust God with this. You know, because I think then I started to, like, okay, there's actually a few things lining up here. So I decided I don't want to, like, unsettle any feathers on this side. If, you know, say if nothing happens and now I ask you to pray and now everybody's freaking out and then you actually don't even have to freak out. So I pick 3 ladies in South Africa. And the only thing I ask them is, please pray. We have a decision to make. Yeah, and it will require change. I said something like that. But nowhere did we ever speak with anyone about the Middle East or Saudi. So the one girl immediately comes back. She's like, sure, she'll pray. You know, that's wonderful. But in any case, she just wanted to let me know that morning in her quiet time, she had a picture of our family actually passing through a desert and we're traveling with specific treasure to a destination. And never mind the picture that was relevant at that moment is literally when I just had my deposit of overwhelming, beyond your mind, peace. It literally, I could feel it being deposited. And because also I was like, when I would sit at school, you get all emotional about the stuff that you see around you, or, you know, seeing your friends and like, oh, you know, I'm not going to see you, or, you know, you just want to go down this like road of destruction and distraction. And I was like, you know, just bring yourself back. So that was literally, I could feel just God, like God speaking his word of peace. I mean, never mind the fact that it's, yes, we are on our way to a desert, you know. That was just such a release of peace into my life. And then when we came back, I knew there's one girl that's living in the Rainsbach area, and they're quite busy, and I was like, okay, I need to get hold of her just to tell her we need to see each other. And I kept thinking, I don't want to tell her over the phone or over a text message that we're actually moving. But then right at the end, I just felt, we have to see you because we're leaving Saudi / compound is all that I said. And it was late at night that I sent this. So I wake up the next morning, and she responded to my text. And she said, oh, you know, she read my text in the morning. And then when she just read compound, God reminded her of a dream that she just had that evening of ladies, one for one, one by one, coming to our house and then leaving, and their countenance has changed. And I mean, the whole of the last 2 years, I kept telling Johan, for instance, how much do you want me to earn? Because I really feel I just need to pour myself out into a personal project with women where I specifically trust with them for them just to understand their value and their uniqueness. And I kept, you know, sensing that. So, yes. So somewhere, probably when the peace came, if I look back, I had clarity. Even though I took note of everything that I just felt, but this is actually what God spoke to me. And there's also, please don't get me wrong, during the last 2 years specifically, but even longer, it's not as if I had this like, oh, Lord, I know exactly what you want me to do. I am so, you know, at peace. And man, life was messy. Life is messy. There were times when I felt, can this just stop? You know, and yet now, if I look back, I'm actually overwhelmed at how I can see how God has been preparing my heart for the women there. I mean, it's the country with the least values probably for women. I don't know what I'm going to do, but I know my heart has been prepared. And there's such an openness to, I just know you'll show me what to do. I don't feel like you have to do something. I mean, there you can't really just put up a tent and, you know, let's have church. It's not going to go down well. But there's such an understanding, but Lord, my heart has been prepared. And yes, I will know when I meet, or I'll just have that insight in you. The only thing that I can say that was fairly consistent over the last 2 years is just my heart, like just desiring, Lord, I desire just to walk with you. And not out of a religious sense, literally, just I remember waking up at times, and I remember telling Johan, it feels like when deep cries out unto deep, or I'm not sure if it was that, but I'll wake up and it's as if I hear myself having conversation with God. And that's why it just felt as if something was just like, you know, I'm just yearning after God. And I think it's because I was brought to my end and beyond, you know, with my kids, or just where you're just so challenged and you just, your brokenness and sinfulness so comes to the forefront. In my context as a mum, you know, you just were like, Lord, I don't want to live without you. You know, so it was a very gradual just thing. And I think the consistent thing for me was just that acknowledgement, yes, Lord, I cannot and I don't want to live without you. Okay, and I really want to encourage you. I don't know, we just come to the Lord as you are. Daily, whether you feel like it or not, even just come mechanically. I can tell you now, if you do that faithfully and consistently, he's going to capture your heart and your attention, and it's going to move from that place of being mechanical to, I love you. I mean, let's think of love. Who watched the rugby yesterday? Anyone? I heard my husband scream like a girl at one stage. I'm like, I better go and see what's going on here. He was just very excited right at the end when they actually won. But I mean, did any of you like apply for Rugby World Cup tickets, or even thought about applying for tickets? Anyone? Yes? Or I don't know, any other interest? I mean, did you like break your head about, I want to apply? Or did you just think, I got a man, it's in the country? Was it a difficult decision? No. When we love something, we actually don't count the cost. Think of when you were in a relationship or when you're in a relationship. You do silly things the whole time and you can't help yourself because you just love that person. You know, I mean, I remember Johan and I, it was ridiculous. We like, he had this, like, I tell him it's a purple car and he's like, no, it's blue. I'm like, yeah, whatever, are you colorblind? It was purple. But in any case, so we called it blue purple. So we would sit, like, after we had a date, we'll sit in his car and, like, in front of my student house, and then we'll speak like another 4 hours, and then we'll go to, he'll drop me, and then I'll send at least another 20 texts, you know? There's just this constant, you just want to be with each other. It's not a, oh, I have to tell him something again. Or, you know, it was literally, when you love something, it's not difficult. You're drawn to it. You want to do things. And you, I don't know, for me, you actually don't count the cost. Where I find with other things, if we come from a different motive than love, yes, our brain goes overtime in calculation, and this, I can actually not do this, you know, for whichever reason. And I just so strongly feel the Lord wants to bring us back to that place of us returning to our first love. It will impact our entire life. It's not a magic wand, no. But as we walk consistently in relationship with Christ, our first love, in that place, our heart actually starts picking up His heart. Like mine, my testimony just over the last 2 years, as I say, life, I didn't the last 2 years thought, yes, man, I'm cruising and I have just nailed it now in understanding the word of the Lord for my life. No, it's since a couple of weeks back when I look back, the thing that I was faithful in is actually just taking note of those things that I actually felt, but this is what He's telling me. Now, how do you know if it's Him or not? Write it down. Just write shortly down those things that you feel. And I tell you, see if it stands the test of time or not. If it's something that was just a desire or just another thought, listen, that thing will not stay in your mind and in your heart. So just take note and just like jot it down somewhere. I mean, that is how you'll start sensing, Lord, you've actually spoken this. And for instance, with my word where I knew we're going to be living outside in more than one country outside of South Africa, I remember Johan, he would like, man, this is not going to happen. He cannot see how this will happen. And I'm just like, zip it, Sparky. I don't want to hear that. I don't know either, but I just know that is what God said. You know, and obviously the poor man, he's now thinking out of a visa or like work or like, okay, I'm the one that need to get us there. And that's where we missed it. It's not Johan getting us to the next place. It's actually us understanding, Lord, you're the one that opens the doors and closes the doors. Even if it doesn't make sense for the world system, how it works out there. So take note and switch off your brain if you feel you like overanalyzing and actually, because it's as if it exposes to us, Lord, am I trusting you or do I want to like make it happen in my own strength? So if you start like reacting like, oh, but I can see how this happened, just step back and ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, show me my own heart. Did for some reason unbelief creep in? Or why am I not trusting you? And actually have conversation with Him at that point. Maybe it's just because, you know, just become in the habit of actually asking Him. Often when we feel, oh, is this the Lord or not? It's as if we stop there of inquiring from Him and being open to Him, and we discuss it with our home group leaders and with our neighbors and with people that we just look up to, and we don't discuss it with the most important, you know, influence in our life. You know, it's great, the fellowship of the believers, and yes, there's wisdom in the counsel of many, but it's as if it just feels as we return to our first love, God also wants to return us back to that connection with the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of wisdom and the Spirit of truth. Another thing, just what I'm amazed at, just of God's timing. So the other day we started Daniel, a Bible study. Oh my word, it is so relevant. Just, yes, for me personally, going to a new culture, but also I think for those who are joining in just for the year and now, wherever you are, it's incredible. If you look in Daniel 1, what happened when they were taken away, when they were taken captive? Basically, there were 3 years that were put out for them to be trained physically, but also intellectually in the things of the country where they went to. Okay? But what did they do? Did they actually get contaminated in a sense or change their worldview? No. It says they resolved to honor the Lord. And what did he do? Even though they went through the teaching of the enemy, he gave them the wisdom and understanding for that teaching, but also for that discerning to still honor him in their way. And I just felt it's such a word for us, for those of you whose kids just started recently with school, or with those of you whose kids are still coming. I mean, that was a big thing for me, feeling like, oh, you know, but what they're teaching there, and is it good, or must I, like, you know, what to do. My eyes just, it opened just to see Holy Spirit, even though I'm like right in the middle of the camp of the enemy and I sit and listen to teaching the whole day. You can actually raise me up in a point where, one, you give me my ear that is a discernment for what is truth and what is lie. And you even raise me up just in understanding of their things so that you can have that favor and just that authority as you operate in that place. So, really, the coming back to the heart of God, there's just such a strong connection with me. Another vision that I also saw, it sounds like I'm having them the whole time. It's not the case. Trust me, it's something that's new and where I'm just like, oh my goodness, you know, it's just a new way in which the Lord is speaking to me. Like, also in this last 2 years, I saw this picture of Jesus and the Holy Spirit sitting with me, and it would literally like be as real for me as Nicolette and Rob, and or any of you for that matter. It was tangible, their presence. And I just had this sense of, we are going to be moved to a place where it's not this abstract concept, you know, Jesus, Holy Spirit. It's going to be like as real as any of the relationships where I can see you, touch you, you know, speak to you or whatever. Okay, let's quickly move on. Now, two things that basically that is a reality for us for the season that's changing. Now, there's a language barrier. Oh my word, have you seen the Arabic language? It looks like shorthand, or that's now my interpretation. I'm actually at the point where I'm teaching myself the alphabet, because they said start with the alphabet because all the letters, it's quite complicated. They basically have three vowels, and they can either be a short vowel or a long vowel. Now, if it's a short vowel, you don't write them in the word. You just have this, like, different little marks above or below your consonants, you know, if there's a vowel. And you read from, you know, from right to left. But if it's numbers, you read from left to right. And if there's double letters, you don't write a double letter. There's, like, a little thingy for that as well. And my hat, you know, it's quite complicated. But I just felt, you know what, how do you, just think of how you feel when you go to a place where you don't understand the language. How do you feel in that place? Welcome? Or do you feel comfortable? Or do you feel, I often feel vulnerable. I mean, you know, this person can be telling me with a smile whatever they want to be telling me, you know, like telling his friend, like, yes, sticker in the back of the van and, you know, drive as fast as you can. And I'm thinking I'm asking for directions to a cafe or something. You know, it's actually quite something to go somewhere where you have no clue. So I just felt, you know, I just feel, you know what, start taking basic steps. So I've got this little book and I'm literally now first learning the letters. And then from the letters, I'll be able to, like, read words whether I know what it is or not. But then as we're there, I really believe over time, you know, I'll start establishing like a super basic vocabulary. You know, so I know I'm not going to like be fluent in it anytime soon. But if I'm actually faithful and consistent in, you know, training myself up, guess what? I will recognize stuff and I will actually start speaking it at a time as well, even if it's just to greet or to say banana in Arabic or whatever when we're at the market. So that's the one thing that stood out for me. And then the other thing that is obvious is there's no church culture. I know we're not the only believers. I'm waiting until we're there just to get the street knowledge of how you go about to access the stuff that you want, for instance, over the internet. But there is no visible church culture. You cannot take your cross or anything that's related to Christianity. And it's interesting because the kids and I were speaking and they're like, Mom, we must take the cross. And I'm like, you know what, guys? We can't take that. We'll leave this for someone else. But don't worry, because Christ is in us and we're taking God with us. We just can't take the things that show we're taking God with us. So, I bought this lovely, like, illustrated lion. So I'm like, well, we're taking, you know, the Lion of Judah with us. Don't you worry. So you also get clever just in ways that you just have a reminder for you that Christ, you are with me. But that is the other thing that I just realized. As I was even going through my books, selling all the ones that I can't take with or just giving it away when those that I finished with, I actually felt, but it was quite difficult, not because I love books, but I realized even like if I look at my books or if I look at the cross against my wall and even coming to church, the question that I have for you is, do you actually have like a false sense of security or relationship in things that surround you that, you know, that represents Christianity, but I'm just looking at my cross each day, or I'm looking at books in my bookstand, you know, I'm not having relationship with the bread of life. I'm not eating from Christ daily. I'm not. So that was something that just, I just realized, and I'm actually excited to go and see how you become aware of Christ around you, because the obvious things aren't there. But I really felt it's just a word for us as well here. You don't have to go to some foreign place to sense that. Just ask yourself, are there anything around you in which you actually find your comfort and you're like, oh, you know, I've got my Bible next to my bed. But it stays there and it's never opened, you know? And I've got whatever, I'm playing the CDs in the background, you know, the worship stuff. Really ask yourself, wow, am I actually surrounding myself with things that represent you, but I'm actually not having that relationship with you? And the last thing, just that practical implication, you look differently to things. Now, it's ridiculous. I must say, I was never this like, oh, it's raining again. But I am from Johannesburg, which is a summer rainfall region in South Africa. So I'm not used to the winter rain. So it's more just like, it feels confusing the seasons that it's raining the whole time. You know, that's what I would register more than like, oh, it's raining again. But now, like the other day, it was raining. I'm like, kids, we actually need to go outside. We need to just do something in the rain, you know. For the next year, we are not going to see like one drop, you know. There's this immediate change of perspective towards rain, you know. And it's a silly example, but ask yourself, are there things that because you're just actually coming, you sensing it, or your perspective is actually putting a massive damper, you know, like oppressing it. And that is not from the Lord. God doesn't suck the life out of us. He empowers. When you're in His presence, you're just refreshed. It's not like, poof, my circumstances have changed. But you walk out and your hope is restored. And you feel, Lord, let's do this, you know, and as long as you're with me, we will get there. So just ask yourself, another thing, a last thing before we go on. I realized, so the two main things that I really feel God wants to tell us is one, as we return to our first love and just have relationship, we will grow in our discernment through the Holy Spirit. And it will release all of us just to walk effectively. Whether you are, you know, it's our context is irrelevant. it doesn't matter if you like the CEO of the best, biggest, you know, company in the world, or whether you've got 20 kids, or whether you have a job or not a job. That's actually irrelevant. All of us, we have a desperate need for Christ in our life. You know, that's why as we just come to Him and plug in daily, you know, I really believe we'll walk and grow in that understanding which the Holy Spirit gives us. And that just will release us just to be, just to live, you know, I don't know. And one thing that I, for those who are here and for those who will be listening to the audio, it just feels there's some of us that's even looking at each other for that fulfillment. Now, say for instance, I look at Marika, oh man, and she just frustrates me because she don't notice my need, or she's not attending to my need, you know? And I actually just built this resentment, and after a while, I actually don't like Shelley either, because Shelley and Marika, they just click, and they're missing me. You know, it really, I feel so strongly, and this is just for example, using the ladies, but to clarify, but I so strongly felt we have these things that's actually just causing a blockage between us and Christ, because I have wrongfully made Marika my savior, and she's not. She's a woman of God walking the same work, both dependent on Christ. Okay, so please, that's why you have your little sheet. Now, if we look at the sheet, the top one should be obvious by now. So you can write something in the little arrow. What must we do? Return to our first love. And that is, it's so hard when life around you just shouts different things, you know, and places value on different things. But the question that I want to ask you there is, are you influencing or are you being influenced? Now, just from a human perspective, obviously, God is the one that hopefully His truth is influencing us, and then we go and influence. But ask yourself, how are you living? Are you actually living with purpose, with intent, understanding your actions, even as we worship? Just understanding it's a declaration, not only over my own life, but into the heavenlies in this place. Or are you just like going through the motions and let's sing another song this morning? Ask yourself, are you purposefully influencing lives and areas around you? Or are you just going with the flow and, hey man, that's how we do it here and let's get on with it. Now the second one, what do you think that means? Okay, what do you see? Two things. Malba, what do you see? Yes, and below the heart, so we're moving to the next one, so this row. The question mark and a box. Yes. So what do you think the question is that we must ask ourselves regularly? Sorry, a bit louder. Are you putting God in a box? Yes. Do you have like very specific compartments of living? You know, for instance, I realized, oh my word, the Lord had to do such a work in me. I'll be quite fine most of the time, but then when I'm with my kids, I would just lose it and this complete different side would come out. You know, and if you didn't know me and if you observed me, you would have probably thought, there's something wrong with this woman, you know. And there was a recognition where I had to understand this way, this thing that's coming out, there's clearly a reason for it, but it's not cool. I can't continue like that. And I actually had to step back and rein myself in and learn even to like put a guard in front of my mouth, for instance, you know, or just channel the frustration and releasing love, you know. But there was a difference. I realized there was a place where I can just be myself when I'm just like in different company, but then it would just be this dragon that comes out, you know, or I don't know how you're at work, or ask yourself, are there situations where you actually, this is how you are when I'm with you, but then I actually change when I'm with you, You know, and that just showed me, like, where I came to the box is, okay, great. There is no church or not any visible church culture there. So I can't go and just continue with the way that I have been pretty much my whole life, which represent the church for me. So it just feels as if the lid is being opened and, you know, I'm stepping out into, like, Holy Spirit, continue to teach me what worship is, even though we can't meet and worship in public. Continue to teach me what your body is, what we can do, you know, how we can function. Just ask yourself there as well, do you often, like, get frustrated just when you just think, oh man, things are just not working like it should be working? Who can relate? Now, often, I agree, don't get me wrong, yes, things must work. But often there's also such a set mindset that actually becomes a thing that dictates, not the way that God actually tells you, listen, do this now, even if it's different than last week's, you know, thing that we did. Okay, so that's just to keep asking yourself. Now, quickly, turn over the page. We'll come back to the circle in the front. Now, with your pens, you see those four. I thought, let's do some pie charts. Who likes pie charts? So I made four wheels. Now, sorry if I missed an hour or a month, but I tried to literally draw in 24 and then 7 days of the week, a month, a year. Now, just quickly on your own time, just indicate there just awareness of God or time spent with God. Start with your day, and then obviously you take it over and you fill in the week, and then take the weeks to the month, and just quickly color it as you just the times that you feel, but I'm actually aware of you in my day, God, or that I'm physically now setting time apart for you. You've got 1 minute to do that. And be honest. Often I actually wanted to give you one and then give you a second one, because often initially we put down what we actually want to see, but we're not honest. Be honest, it's just for yourself. So if it's blank, great, leave it blank, you know, at least this is just visually to show us something that I really believe God wants to teach us. You're all nervous now because you heard me. Are you done? If you look at it, do you feel you were honest? Remember, I don't want to see it. It's just for yourself, but just this is for you. How does it make you feel if you look at that? Who feels slightly uncomfortable? Who feels, oh man, maybe I must do a bit more? Who feels, oh, this is perfect, man. Everything's in control. Any other feelings? You can just shout it out. Okay. So, I didn't fill mine in, but you will probably not see much color on mine, you know, because I think there's some awareness. And with a Bible study, I actually have my time. But go back to your front page. Right at the bottom, it says, my day, and then in brackets, through the mind of Christ, is what I mean there. Now, can you see what I did? So basically, it's not solid, but just color, go home and color that front circle solid red, okay? And that was just such a picture for me where it really feels, we so used to like thinking, okay, but I've had my time now, you know, and it's adding up, and, you know, over the year, yeah, you know, I'm getting there. But Christ doesn't see our days like this. Christ actually just sees our life completely being covered by His blood. Okay? And so, in a sense, if you think in layers, just the bottom layer is always red, because it's just Christ's blood that covers you. It's just you positioning yourself in Christ. And our days and our weeks and our months and our years might look different. You know, are you having a young baby? Did you just start a new job? It's as if we, get anxious, you know, if we're like, oh Lord, but I'm not getting to. He's with us the whole time, and it just feels He wants to get us out of the box with that mentality of thinking, yes, I've had my time with you, you know, and now I go and I live like a crazy woman, you know. Just become aware, Christ with us. Just see this, just see your diary, even it's red, because he's with you. You cannot, I know we live like that, but it's actually impossible to like, okay, Lord, just stay there now because I actually have to do this and this. We have to, as we position ourselves in Christ, as we've been called to, just see it as He's with you. You are in Him. And that just changes the way that I just look at my entire day, whether I have to do the laundry or whether I'm actually doing Bible study with the ladies. And ask yourself, are you actually seeing... we become quite religious in how we think about God. And I just believe He wants to break that. Now... another thing that I read that I just felt, yeah, it makes you think. It says, a year from now, you will wish you had started this today. You know, it just made me think, often people are like, oh, yeah, you know, if I just started a year ago with training, oh, I'll actually be fit now, you know. Or if I just started eating better, yes, you know, then my health will just increase. And just ask yourself, just start baby steps. Like I have to start with literally learning the alphabet. Oh, and the alphabet letters on my hat. You get the alone standing letter. It looks like something. Then depending whether it's at the beginning, the middle, or the end, that actually changes the shape of each letter as well. So each letter I actually have to learn four different pictures for. You know, but so on the one hand, it can feel very overwhelming. But if you actually systematically approach it, guess what? I'm actually going to learn the alphabet. And I'll be able to recognize the letter Yeshu, the beginning, middle, or end of the word. Okay, and it's the same with Christ. It just feels to me we often, we're overwhelmed by something. But it just feels we actually have to learn His language. We have to learn His language by spending consistent time in His presence to understand the spoken word that He's already given us. Okay, and don't worry if it doesn't make sense, everything. Start literally by just becoming faithful in, Lord, here I am. And just sit there. And then as He leads, Lord, here I am. Yes, let's learn that first letter. You know, and over time, just start walking. Okay, often I find we sit and it just doesn't get us anywhere. Not that we must work for it, but how do you get to know someone? What's the quickest way to get to know someone? There's a few ways. You spend time with them. You can simply observe. You can ask them questions. You know, there's interaction. So just start interacting with Christ daily. You will just learn His language, and we'll come to that place where we actually understand and learn His heart. Now, I had to smile because I felt one of the scriptures that we must look at today, you know, specifically for Andries, is John 15, verse 5, the vine. And I just thought, yes, Lord, You have a sense of humor. So let's quickly turn to John chapter 5. Now, the one thing that, the only thing that I really have to say is that our positioning is in Christ. Christ is the vine. The church isn't the vine. Okay, and again, remember the example where I said, but I actually put responsibility on a person or a thing to be my comfort and Christ. It's actually misplaced. So even ask yourself, have you misplaced, you know, your perception of God? Do you think the church, you know, must make like happen? No, we come together, each one of us in Christ. And then, as body of believers, we function. But if we just come together as body of believers without being plugged into Christ, guess what? We're just going to irritate each other. And I don't know, there's not going to be life. So just ask yourself, if you think of the vine, who is the vine? Okay? Now, who of you struggle with thoughts that you're actually reminded were of past sins, or you feel impure, or yeah, it's as if you always just have this irritating voice in your head reminding you, you know, of you're actually not, you know, you either two-faced sitting here now in church, or you, you know, you, I don't know, you don't have any value, okay? Or do any of you ever feel ashamed, or just you like aware of, oh man, I can't believe I did that, or some of you discouraged because you don't feel you bearing any fruit, okay? Do you feel loved? Do you often feel like anxious, or you feel just depressed, or you just feel hopeless? Now quickly turn your pages over that I give you this. It's blank at the back. Now just make a tick. You don't have to write it down. Just yes or no. When I ask you again, do you ever feel you misunderstood, or that God doesn't understand you? Yes or no. Do you ever feel frustrated, or you experience just frustration just in your relationship with God or in church? Yes or no. Do you feel ashamed, or you continue, you know, you're reminded of your sin and it's as if you just can't shake it? Yes or no. Do you feel that you're fruitless, or you're constantly asking yourself, but am I actually bearing fruit? Yes or no. Do you feel loved or unloved? So loved or unloved. Or do you often like you find you're fearful, or you're anxious, or you're depressed, or you actually just feel, oh, I don't have anything to get up for now. Okay. Now, if we actually read through John, you can go and read from John 15, from verses 1 to 11. Just listen to the promises that Christ actually gives us, the word that He's spoken to us, which cannot return void to Him. It will come to fruition as we are in Him. It says, "You are cleansed and pure," in verse 3. Verse 5 says, "You will bear fruit as you are in me." It says your fruit will actually honor the Father. So do you often feel, oh Lord, but I'm not really doing anything for you? As you just in Christ, and as you just understanding, but Lord, you are my life, whether you know it or not, your life actually starts glorifying God, you know? It says your fruit will honor the Father. It says you'll actually abide in my love. Okay? It says you will, my joy and my delight will be in you. It doesn't say your circumstances are going to be changed, but it says there's actually, you're going to tap into just that overwhelming joy of understanding Christ. Okay? You're going to love one another. And it says you're going to come to that place, verse 15, where Christ says, "You're not my servant. I actually call you my friend." So you're going to be in that place where you feel, "Lord, I'm just walking with you. I love you. I've returned to my first love." So those questions that I've asked you, I mean, there's many more that you can ask yourself, but in a sense, that's just a gauge. Not to be religious, but if you have more no's than yeses, ask yourself, but am I looking at my cross and feeling, yes, you know, that's my comfort? Or am I actually walking with Christ, allowing Him to be my comfort? Okay, let's move on. Now, I said positioning is important, and then the other thing I said is we're going to increase in our discernment. Now, let's quickly turn to 1 Timothy 4, verse 8. Okay. It's interesting. I read a quote where it said, "The first half of living the truth is learning the truth." So it brings us back to the alphabet. We actually have to, learn the way that God speaks. How do we do it? We spend time in His Word. We spend time with Him because that is His spoken Word. Okay? 1 Timothy 4 verse 8 says the following, "For physical training is of some value. It's useful for a little. But godliness, spiritual training, is useful and of value in everything and every way, for it holds promise for the present life and also for the life which is to come." And yeah, that feels to me that's this key scripture for today. Yes, we're going to live our life. You do things, you do sport, you exercise, what. But just understand all the things that we busy ourselves with, or most things in the world, is just going to pass away, okay? But what does it say about if we spiritually train ourselves? Which just means to me, I actually walk in relationship with you, and as I walk with you, I obviously grow in you. It says not only will it benefit, the promise is not only for the here and now, but it's also for the things to come. Okay, so just, I don't know, that's just such a beautiful way of like, let that be your motivator. Not that like, I'm going to benefit from all the promise, but just understand it's so much richer, the promises of God, than any other thing that the world tries to sell to you. And even though we're going through the world, just make sure you're coming from that Daniel perspective, You honor and you set yourself apart. You resolve, you decide to walk through the world in the way that God actually asks you to. And He is the one that will enable you to do it. And your life will glorify Him. Okay, now 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17. Come on, that's a well-known scripture. What does that say? 2 Timothy 3 verse 16. All scripture is? Yes, it's inspired by God, or it's God-breathed, some things say. Now it says, God's truth must become the governing influence in our thinking, guiding impression in our emotion, and guardian to our integrity. God's truth must become the governing influence in our thinking, our guiding impressions in our emotion, and guardian to our integrity. So basically, as we discipline ourselves to learn God's language, understand God's word is inspired by Him. It's not just a few nice thoughts. It's life. It's important for us to have an accurate approach to God's word. You must understand that God's word is the truth. Whether you understand it or not, that's not the problem, but you must actually be open and deliberately spend time in God's word for the truth to minister to you. Okay? And then Jesus is always central to and in our faith, in our thoughts and in our deed. And I'm actually looking forward to going, and it's as if I just know I'm going to live there, and yes, I will try and walk obedient to what the Holy Spirit tells me, but there's no, I don't know, it just feels I'm just going to live there, and there's no thing that you should do if you're a Christian, or that society thinks you should be like this, because I mean, you pretty much don't publicize the fact you take it on more in the heavenlies and stuff, but walk obediently as He leads. And it just feels to me our lives, coming back to the box, ask yourself, do you do certain things because you just think, but this is how it should be done? I think worship was a very big, and is a very big, just learning curve for me. I know I don't look and sound like, I don't know, contemporary worship, but that's not the point, because it's worship, and I know my heart is after God, and my desire is that as you go, that you'll just make a platform for others literally just to worship Him. It's not to sound a certain way or to look a certain way. And just ask yourself in your life, are you actually doing things because you think, but this is how I should look? Man, step back and ask yourself, are you actually being truthful? Let's quickly go to Colossians 2, verse 6 to 10. Colossians 2, verse 6 to 10. As you have therefore received Christ, Jesus the Lord, walk, regulate your lives, and conduct yourselves in union with and conformity to Him. Have the roots of your being firmly and deeply planted in Him, fixed and founded in Him, being continually built up in Him, becoming increasingly more confirmed and established in the faith, just as you were taught, and abounding and overflowing in it with thanksgiving. See to it that no one carries you off as spoil or make you yourselves captive by so-called philosophies and vain deceit, following human tradition rather than the spiritual, just crude notions, following the rudimentary and elemental teachings of the universe and disregarding the teachings of Christ. For in Him the fullness of the deity, the Godhead, continues to dwell in bodily form, and you are in Him made full and having come to the fullness of life. Let's quickly look at that other pictures on your page, the faces. Now, there's two things that I want you to do. I didn't draw in their mouths. So, just briefly, think of two things. How did you actually feel when you wake up? And you can either do a smile, a line if you don't know, and then a, you know, bottom one if you didn't feel well. And ask yourself, were there specific things that you just thought, like, oh, I don't feel like getting up, or oh, I don't feel like today, or yes, it's a fantastic day, let's go. So quickly look, good morning. So when you woke up, how did you feel? And did you think something specifically? Let's go to the next one. When you were actually driving to church, again, fill in the mouth for me. How did you feel? And was there something specific that you actually registered? Like, oh, I all of a sudden just feel tired. Or whatever. Let's go to during worship. How did you feel? And did you sense something specific? And then this one you can do a bit later, but at the end of the service, or even at the end of today, how did you feel? And did you sense something specific? I actually want you to repeat this during the week, and you can literally just do it morning, afternoon, evening, or you can, you know, you can actually do as many as you want, like morning, travel to work, at work, afternoon, traveling back. But what I want you to see is often we wake up and, or say for instance myself, I used to wake up and then all of a sudden I would just think literally, oh, no, it must end today. I think I must actually take my own life. Even if I, like in the natural and where I'm at, I wasn't at that place to do it, but I would literally wake up and feel, oh, that's it, you know, enough now. Now, that was so obvious that that isn't from me. I remember just saying, Holy Spirit, what is this? And I remember I've actually sensed it three times in my life. And it's as if in that place, He just said, you know what? It was actually a spirit that is trying to operate in the area. So, why I ask you to show yourself what you're feeling. It's for us to come also to that place of discernment. One, it will tell you, are you actually plugged in? Because I think there should come a consistency. But it will also show you where you're actually discerning things that's operating in different geographical areas. For instance, often at your home, you'll be fine. And then as soon as you drive somewhere, you'll just start sensing something else. Or you just feel, oh, but I really don't feel like it or whatever. And often it's things that's trying to withhold just the release of the truth in the area. And we must start paying attention to that. So that is why I gave you that little exercise. It's just for to practice, in a sense, discernment and allowing the Holy Spirit to teach you. don't go and look for something behind a bush. But if you just all of a sudden sense something, just ask him, Holy Spirit, why am I feeling this now? Okay, and I really just feel that would help us just practically just to all train our spiritual muscle. Now, I'll have to cut it short. The reason I also ask you to do that, to become in touch with what you're actually sensing, if we say something long enough, or if you hear something long enough, you actually start believing that thing, okay? So if I actually get up and I just hear, for instance, oh, but you're not qualified. You know, you're not qualified to go and lead worship. Guess what? I'll probably stand here completely distracted and then come to a point, if I continue to listen to that thing, to like, no, but sorry guys, you know, I actually can't do this anymore. You know, so understand that there's things that's actually, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers of darkness. And there's, you know, we must start discerning those things that's trying to distract us from being in Christ. And that's just why I do it for a week. Do this for this coming week. And if you sense something that is not from you, also just say, thank you, God, that I can stand in the gap for this area now and I can come against this hopelessness in Jesus' name, and you can release His truth. Okay, it's not just for ourselves. It's actually even just for the areas of people around us. So let's start there. We as we become more in tune, just start, you know, actually praying His word, releasing His word, and renouncing that which is trying to withhold His word from coming. Let's read Hebrews 4, verse 13. And not a creature exists that is concealed from His sight, but all things are open and exposed, naked and defenseless to the eyes of Him whom we have to do. Inasmuch then as we have a great high priest who has ascended and passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast to our confession, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to understand and sympathize and have shared feeling with our weaknesses and infirmities and liability to the assaults of temptations, but one who has been tempted in every respect as we are, yet without sinning. And if you just responded earlier when I asked you, you know, do you feel unloved, or do you feel, ask yourself, even now, is there any thing that you're actually registering that you realize this is a lie, and this is a lie that's ministering to me? Come, and there's your scripture to come against that with. That there is nothing that any one of us are faced with, confronted with, that Christ has not been confronted with Himself, and He is the one that actually enables us to effectively, with His word, come against it. And it just feels we must move from that place of actually being influenced by, whether it's, you know, spirits operating in the area, or just your own emotions, or even just your, you know, your mind, not the mind of Christ. Just start thinking, what's actually determining my life? And we need to start just to respond with that. I'm just going to give you the scripture. We can end off with that. But Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Let's quickly jump there. I just had a silly picture now. Let's jump there. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. What does it say? Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insights or understanding. Proverbs 1 verse 7 says, the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord is the beginning and the principal and choice part of knowledge. It's the starting point and its essence. And then Proverbs 3 verse 5 to 22, but I'm just going to be lifting out a few verses. Verse 15, skillful and godly wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you can wish for is to be compared to her. Verse 23, you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust, and you shall not dash your foot or stumble. So it basically says, it's the whole pursuit of knowledge and wisdom, but that represents the Holy Spirit. And just please go and read that on your own time. As we're actually faithful in seeking God and seeking that fellowship with the Holy Spirit, we come to that place in verse 23 where it says, you will walk in your way securely and in confident trust. And I'm so thankful just for that hope which I referred to earlier. It's actually the peace in my heart that I'm putting my hope in. And that I know, but we will be able to walk and we'll be fine. Listen, we've had people telling us they don't even wish this over their worst enemy, the fact that we're going to Saudi and we don't know what we are doing. And there's been many interesting words spoken. And I know, I'm not ignorant, I know it's going to be completely different. But that peace that Christ has imparted to me, that's the thing that just overwhelms me. And I just know, even though I don't know how it's going to look, how it's going to be, I know Christ is with me and that we are going to walk. Okay, and that is just my heart for all of us. A final thing, this is my final scripture, Proverbs 2 verse 1 to 6. If you want to know practical ways, how can we grow in this discernment and knowledge of God? Now, Proverbs 2 says the following. My son, if you will receive my word and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ears attentive to skillful and godly wisdom, and inclining and directing your heart and mind to understanding, yes, if you cry out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek wisdom as for silver and search for skillful and godly wisdom as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the reverent and worshipful fear of the Lord and find knowledge of our God. And just look at that. There's actually 8 actions. There's 8 things that we can do in this pursuit. So if you say, but I don't know, How do I come to you, Lord? Or what do I do? Or how do you sound even? Just look there. It shows you, you know, come to that place where you receive my word. So what? I must actually place myself and declare, Lord, I'm open for your teaching. You know, treasure his word. Like, value it. Regard it in your life. Just honor him through honoring his word. Be attentive. Start searching and testing scripture for what you're feeling and what it says, and keep on doing it until you come to that place of coming in line with the truth, because that is life. Cry out to him, lift up his name in your own words. Seek him and search. And the promise at the end, I love it. It says, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and the knowledge of God. Now, it just feels it's one of those things. I can't give you a formula. I can encourage you to consistently, with purpose and intent, to draw near to him. And you, all of us, will grow in that understanding, one of who God is. It will just, we'll just be overwhelmed by the love that he has for us and just what his son has done. And yeah, it will actually start dictating our actions. So don't break your head about, Lord, what to do. Just return to your first love. And in that place, he actually releases us, even though we don't always realize it. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you just that you are faithful, that you are the way, that you are truthful, that you are truth, that you are the one and only. There's none like you, Christ. Thank you that your work of the cross is complete, and you have brought death and sickness and disease and anything that wants to come against you under your authority. Thank you that you're sitting in the heavenlies representing us, and you interceding for us. And I thank you that your word says, but you loved us first, and therefore we can love you. And I just pray for each one of us today, Lord, that we'll return to you as our first love, where it's needed. Father, and thank you just as we walk in relationship with you, just being motivated and like drawn by your love, Lord. Thank you that we'll grow in discernment through you, Holy Spirit. We repent even where we don't even inquire of you. And I just pray for just as we can trust you for God in front of our mouths, I pray even just that we'll resist the temptation of just doing it how I've always done it, because that's just how it works. I pray just for such an openness to being trained and raised up by you. Thank you, in you we are sufficient. And I just extend my faith that you'll open our eyes, just each one of us in our context, just to see you and to see your sufficiency. And I just thank you that your word will come to pass. And as you just speak your promises into each heart, Lord God, I just pray that, yeah, that we'll just take note and that we'll stand and wait and see that you show yourself strong. In Jesus' name, amen.